As Detroit's bankruptcy battle continues to unfold, one element that draws great attention and great passion all through the state is what will happen to the city-owned pieces at the Detroit Institute of Arts. Now that the city's reached a tentative agreement with its retirees, its pensioners, we wonder just how that might impact the possible sale of DIA treasures to satisfy Detroit's bondholders and other creditors. Mark Stryker recently explored this question in a story for the Detroit Free Press. Always good to have you on Stateside. Thank you, Mark.
It's nice to be here. Thanks.
So, Kevin Org gets the crucial endorsement of the pension officials representing the general city retirees and the police and fire retirees. So just how important is that in keeping these city-owned DI pieces out of the hands of creditors?
Well, it could be crucial because it gives Orr considerably more leverage to help get his plan of adjustment through and approved by the judge in the bankruptcy case. And his plan doesn't include selling any art, even though other creditors will object. But having the endorsement of the pensioners of his plan, which includes this grand bargain we have talked about many times, where foundations and the state would put up basically $815-16 million. And the DIA would be a part of that, and that money would go to pensioners in exchange for taking the art off the table and spinning off the DIA from city control. The pensioners have essentially endorsed that plan now, and so that means the creditors who are still going after the art still have legal arguments, but experts we talked to said that may well make it easier for Rhodes to confirm the plan.
Well, when you think about the legal arguments versus, let's call it, the optics. And when you think of the countless interviews with desperate pensioners, and there's certainly no shortage of that, people who risked having such huge impacts to their pension checks versus Syncora. So the optics of that have to be looked at differently than the actual legality.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to remember that judges, of course, are humans. One thing about the grand bargain and as part of the plan of adjustment is it does make it easier for Judge Rhodes to come up with a politically palatable solution. But the fact is you have to account for the value of the city-owned art. It's a city asset. Mm-hmm. And so somehow you have to account for the fact that there are millions, billions of dollars worth of art at the museum. And the grand bargain does that. It says we have $815 million and we'll put that on the table on behalf of the art, and it gives the judge a way of allowing his plan, the plan to be confirmed while still accounting for the art and also saving the museum and giving more money to pensioners. Legally, however, the arguments still remain out there, and the question is, does the plan that Orr has put forward treat creditors unfairly? And, you know, there's a central argument in bankruptcy, which is that you cannot treat creditors within the same class of creditors that are similar. You can't treat them differently. And so the question will become, does the plan that Orr has suggested that favors pensioners against the bond insurers like Syncora and others, does that in effect treat them unfairly? Now, the city will argue that these are different kinds of creditors and that treating creditors unfairly is not about treating everybody equal. It's making sure that if you do treat them unequally, that there is a fair and rational basis for doing so. And there is a strong argument to be made that pensioners should be treated more favorably than other bond insurers and other creditors because pensioners have worked all their lives for the cities, because in fact, the state constitution has protections against cutting pensions, and that these people don't have the means to recover the money. They need the money more than wealthy bond insurers from Wall Street. And those are all very strong rational arguments for treating these creditors differently.
Fascinating legal stuff. I'm talking with Detroit Free Press writer Mark Stryker as we kind of explore what the impact of the endorsement of pension officials to the plan of adjustment that Kevin Orr put out there. What does that mean for preserving the DIA's collection? So I'm wondering, we know talks with the bondholders are continuing. We also know just based on what the pensioners and retirees got, we heard draconian cuts were offered at the beginning. And then here you have police and fire taking no cut in their monthly pension checks. And a much more modest cut for the other retirees. So could the situation evolve and change for Syncora or Financial Guarantee Insurance or these other creditors?
It's certainly possible. These are negotiations, and, you know, classic negotiation strategy is you start with your worst offer so there's room to grow, and it, you know, gets better and better and begins to look better and better. And so it's possible that Orr could come up with more money for the bond insurers, but I'm not exactly sure where it's going to come from, and that's you know, that's the question. The extraordinary thing about the grand bargain is that we have $816 million have been flooded into the bankruptcy to give Orr extra cash to begin to dole that out. Now, what they've decided to do is basically that money was dedicated specifically, came from the foundation specifically for pensioners. And so the bond insurers and the bondholders are not getting any of that. So, you know, could, let's say, if Orr gets a fantastic water and sewer deal that you know, creates a bigger pool of cash than he otherwise thought he was going to get. Yes, maybe more money could be thrown at the creditors, and they would, that would appease them some, and they would call off the dogs as regards to the art. But I'm skeptical, and I'm also skeptical given what the bond insurers have done so far in court. They've made every indication that they are going to go after the art as long as they can until the judge says, "I'm sorry, it's off the table."
And what do legal minds tell you? How much chance do these experts think there really exists that the likes of Syncora and Financial Guarantee Insurance could force the city to sell its art?
The people I've talked to said it's looking less and less likely that the bond insurers and the other creditors who seem so predatory toward the art will get their way and get the art put on the table. The legal arguments, the legal hurdles are stiff. The political hurdles are stiff. And the differences between a typical Chapter 11 corporate bankruptcy and a Chapter 9 bankruptcy are significant. And that is that the judge in a Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy has to think about the future viability of the city when he's making his decision. And this comes back to a question we've talked about before, which is, well, what is the value and role of an art museum like the DIA in a city like Detroit? Well, it's part of the cultural soul, the cultural identity. It's a tourist attraction. It is part of the fabric of the city that makes a place livable, viable, a locus of creativity, all the kinds of things that Detroit will need to survive as it goes forward after post-bankruptcy. So the judge is able to consider all of that when he makes his decision, and those are all issues that could lead the judge to, again, put a shield around the art, particularly because he has accounted for the art in the $816 million coming from the grand bargain.
As much as Syncora and the others are saying that's a terrible lowball.
of course. And in fact, they are right, because there's no question that the value of the art at the museum is in the billions of dollars. No question. Let's remember that the Christie's estimate that we was that the city commission some months ago came up with a value of $800 million or so just for 5% of the collection, the works that were bought directly with city funds.
Yes.
But the city technically owns every single piece of art in the museum, and experts have told us that it's clearly billions of dollars worth of art. So these bond insurers are absolutely correct when they say that you're lowballing the value of the art. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a one-to-one value, and the judge can decide that, yes, 815 is a reasonable accounting for the value of the art in the context of this complete plan of adjustment, and considering that we need to leave the city in a place where it can survive and thrive post-bankruptcy.
And so what kind of timetable are we looking at, do you think, for this DIA question?
Well, there are two big things. One is, starting in May, the individual pensioners will vote on whether or not to accept the deal or not. as of now, the pension boards and the leadership negotiating teams mm-hmm. have accepted the deal and will recommend to their members that they vote yes. But we still got to get a yes vote mm-hmm. from the members themselves. So that's one thing. And then in July, we're going to see the mother of all bankruptcy trials when all of these questions get hashed out in court.
Well, it's always fascinating talking about this ever-changing story with you, Detroit Free Press writer Mark Stryker. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.